I just read this stat and it made me giggle because it coincides with one of my good girlfriends just getting a new job. All right, so 85% of people hate their jobs.
That's a sad number.
It's a high number. Hate their jobs? Like, I mean, every job has its ups and downs, but to say you really hate it, but you go there every single day, that's like, it is. It's really sad. But my girlfriend just got this new job and she's in the honeymoon phase.
Right.
You know when somebody first gets a job and they're so excited and they're all over Facebook talking about their new job and then all of a sudden reality hits in?
Oh, the team is great. What we're doing here really makes a difference. Every day I go home and I feel so positive about it. Honestly, can't wait to get back. And it's my job. And then like 10 to 12 days into said job,
yes.
Then all of a sudden there's a rough day.
Yeah.
There's like a day that happens. Like you said, ups and downs. It's true. I mean, even the best jobs have bad days where you don't want to do it.
It's true. And that's what I kept thinking is like that honeymoon phase of a new job is so exciting and feels so good. And it's like you're riding a high. But how long do you think on average it takes to come down from that?
Oh, so, I could talk about this for days.
Mm-hmm.
When mornings comes, I mean, we've seen it here all the time. How many times have we had somebody that's working for us in the other room and they come in and they are pumped?
Yes.
And this is a different type of job scenario, right? Because, you know, some people would never want to do this, but there's other people that have thought about doing this for a very long time. So when they first get that job and morning show, that's where you want to be. But the truth is that waking up at 4 is really hard.
Right. The first day, you're good.
Oh.
The second day, you're good.
Right.
The third day, it's like you got hit by a truck.
Right.
And then you do it for 12 years.
But by the second week, they start to get that look in their eyes.
Right.
Like they're starting to question, is this something I really want to do with my life?
I even realized with my husband, because he picked up a new job. And I have to be honest with you, he is the happiest at this new job that he has been in a long time. And when he complains, I have to remind him about how much he hated his other job.
Right.
To like put it like reality in check. But I would say it took him about 3 weeks to 1 month before mm-hmm. he started nitpicking all the little problems along the way. So yeah. I think that's when the honeymoon's over. 3 to 4 weeks.
There's a day. For me, I think it's less. But I guess maybe that does have a lot to do with what time you're waking up.
Firefighters in New York had to cut a 14-year-old girl out of a dressing room when she got trapped because her 7-year-old brother just closed the door.
Thanks, bro.
Well, you know what? You can't blame him at all because, I mean, as a mom of a toddler, I would think that if a child saw a door, the first thing they would do is go close it. Like, I feel like that's like their initial reaction. But how it happened is that the store is an old bank building and the dressing room is an old vault. So she goes on to try on clothes and her 7-year-old brother, just like any 7-year-old kid or toddler or any child would do, closes the vault door because it's big and it's different, right? And guess what? They couldn't open it. So the mom, poor mom, goes to the employees and they realize there's no way to get it open. And FYI, I don't know about you, but nobody ever discovered that before.
Yeah, it seems like a big question mark at this point. I mean, that's got to be the only fitting room that's been open in that zip code for quite a while at this point. It just opens up and everybody realizes that there's no key for it. 18, that seems strange.
18 inches of concrete, Raven. 18 inches of concrete. Here's 14-year-old Giovanna talking about how she felt when she realized she was trapped.
I was pretty nervous, just like scared at the moment, but I knew that there is a way out.
But okay, yes.
What was the way out?
Well, you're going to find out in just a minute. But imagine how terrifying it must be for your mom, right?
We realized that she was fine after we FaceTimed together and she gave us a 360 of the room. And I saw an air vent in there. I said, okay, there's an air vent in there. There's oxygen flowing or air flowing through there. She's going to be okay.
Her mom, it sounds rational. I think I would have been hysterical at that point. I'd be like, how did you get a baby out? You know?
Yeah. I think there would be quite a lot said at that point. Right.
So what do the firefighters do?
We used hammer drills. We used our jaws of life, our cutter, pretty much any tool that was on our rescue truck we used to get access to this area.
Yep. 60 people on the floor right there to get her out. 60 people showed up, like firefighters, everybody involved. And they finally did get her out.
I made the hole and they were like, do you think this is big enough? And I was like, should be okay. And then they were like, okay, just tell us if anything hurts and say stop and we'll push you back in.
Can you imagine? She gets stuck halfway through in the hole, and they're like, that's all right. We'll just put you back in. Don't worry. You go right back in your vault.
I'm not sure that's actually how it works, but yeah, what a relief to be out. That's
She's
for
safe.
Sure.
Everything is fine. I mean, sometimes you just get stuck in things.
Yeah.
You ever get stuck?
Well, I think I've been stuck in like one of those little kid toy cars, right? When you're hanging out with your friends and somebody's got a younger sibling and then they had like one of those little Tykes vehicles or whatever. And you think, oh, this would be funny. Let me get in it like a clown. And then you're stuck. And you can't get out of that thing. And it's painful, frankly.
I should definitely bring one of Dakota, my toddler's power wheels in.
I won't try it again. I won't try it again now. I learned my lesson at that point.
I'm trying to think. We've got our elevator here at the office.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't even count. It happens so often.
We get stuck in it all the time. And here's the part that's psychotic. Because we get to work so early in the morning, sometimes in my irrational mind, I think, well, if I get stuck, I could just take a nap
take
on the floor.
Nap.
Yeah.
Go back to bed.
Right. I'm waiting for that time, though, when it gets stuck and they can't get us out. And then I wonder what's going to happen. Firefighters had to cut a 14-year-old girl out of a dressing room when she got trapped. And it's just because her 7-year-old brother closed the door. Poor kid. He did anything that any other kid would do. He just closed the vault door. So it turns out that the store was an old bank and the dressing rooms was the vault. Very trendy, very cool. Except when he closed the vault, poor girl couldn't get out. They had to call the firefighters to cut a hole through 18 inches of concrete.
Let this be a lesson to you. Don't have a vault as your fitting room. Seriously. I mean, seriously.
I mean, it probably makes for a cool visual right there, right?
Yeah, never again.
When did you get stuck? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Producer Sean, when did you get stuck?
I went to an amusement park years ago. And mm-hmm. this is when they just released, it was the world's tallest coaster with like the steepest drop. And of course, had to be on the number one seat, waited like 3 hours in line. It goes, you know, ascends up to the top and it gets stuck right at the very top.
Come
looking
on.
Down. 90-degree angle looking down.
No.
Oh, no.
And I have a huge fear of heights. So I'm freaking out. And the guy comes in the thing. He's like,
yeah, just so you know, we're experiencing some technical difficulties. It's going to take a little time. So I'll just go over this, please.
Like, probably about 10 minutes. It's only 10 minutes, but it felt like a lifetime up there.
Yeah.
And the thing is when it finally goes after 10 minutes, you think to yourself, am I going to survive
this? Is that a die?
Right.
Am I going to die right now?
Okay,
right.
They got it to unlock. The brakes are off, but is it actually going to fly off the track when I get to the bottom? But you know something? I don't know if that would be more or less terrifying than when you see the guy, you know, when you see this with the rides get stuck and there's a guy coming up the staircase on the side of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I see the staircase next to the roller coaster, just looking at the staircase terrifies me anyway. The thought that somebody would ever be up there, to have somebody walking up that thing and talking to me and going, no, it's going to be cool. I'd be like, no, it's certainly not cool, sir. It's already not cool.
In Disney World, at Magic Kingdom, oh my gosh, it's escaping the name, the wooden roller coaster, the one all the way in the back of the Magic Kingdom. Me and my dad had to walk down the stairs. We got stuck on top.
I would throw up.
And they get us that we had to walk right down the stairs. It makes for a good story, but that's it.
You better give me a free Disney trip for like, a decade, every year.
I don't think we had anything. 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, when'd you get stuck?
Living in an apartment complex and I actually was going in the elevator to go downstairs and the elevator caught in the middle and I was stuck and no phone. I had to wait for someone to come up and I'm like screaming from the elevator, help! No one's answering. And then finally, it was late at night. Someone late at night was up trying to get on the elevator and actually called somebody because they didn't have a phone. And I had to call the fire department to get me out.
How long did it take you from when you realized you were stuck to actually escape that elevator?
I was stuck for a good hour and a half.
Hour and a half is a long time to be stuck in an elevator.
You know what stinks is? It's like,
and having to go to the bathroom.
There's always an apartment right next to the elevator. I mean, you know, like, I mean, it's not like the room next to the elevator is empty. So the person next to the elevator is used to hearing noise all day and night. They hate that elevator. They hate the placement of that elevator. There's no way they didn't hear you in that elevator, but they were just like, whatever.
They're like, let me just finish this episode of Friends.
I'm going to let it go for a while here. I'm still in bed. I don't want to deal with this right now. Then I got to deal with listening to them open the elevator. Let's just leave that person in there.
Jason, call the super. There's another one stuck. firefighters had to cut a 14-year-old girl out of a dressing room when she got trapped because her 7-year-old brother just closed the door. Turns out it was a vault. It was like an old bank, and the dressing room was the vault. It took firefighters like a long time. They had to use the jaws of life to get her out. Can you imagine that poor girl and that poor mom just being like, does the skirt fit? Does it fit while you're trapped in there?
I don't want to be too bad, but sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen, really.
1-800-330-9999. Did you ever get stuck anywhere? What happened? Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
I got stuck on my way inside the building to work. They had one of those rotating doors.
Yes.
And nobody was conscious of anything. Everybody was just pushing. And I got stuck between the rubber and the part that goes around.
That sounds painful.
I felt my breath go out of my lungs, and you could hear it, like... your sound.
Oh my
and when God. I got out, I just passed out because I was out of breath.
Oh, my gosh. I would have sued my business.
I have actually a fear of the revolving door. We have a revolving door in our office. And if you ever notice, Raven, I never go through it, ever. I don't like them. I don't think they're safe. I'm worried for my fingers. I've never thought about getting stuck in one, but now that's a new fear I have.
Yeah, that's a death trap. Thank you very much for the heads up.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did you get stuck and have to be rescued?
I got my tongue stuck on an aluminum screen door in the wintertime.
Mm, you deserved it. All right. Yeah. Haven't you ever seen A Christmas Story? Come on, people.
I did. I have. I think I did it first. I'm older than The Christmas Story.
Oh,
my
man.
Mom had to pour warm water over my tongue to get it loose.
No, I did that when I was little. I watched that movie for the first time, and I did it on the freezer door.
Immediately walked in and decided to give it a shot. That won't really happen.
I didn't believe it would really happen.
What is
no.
it?
It works. Your tongue gets stuck. It's true. I had to pull it off, and then I had this big oval scar on my tongue for a long time until it regenerated, kind of like a starfish.
You can't mess with temperature, man.
No.
It's just always not going to work out. It's not going to work out.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did you get stuck?
Last night. This is great. I'm an electronics technician, and we have a vendor, and they have what they call a pick up any time room. Where it's a locked room, you're given a code. Each customer has its own code. So you go in any time of the night and pick up the stuff that you pre-ordered, and it's been charged to your credit card.
Sure.
Around 7 o'clock at night, I get out of my truck, leave it running, leave the phone in the truck.
Nice.
I put my code in. I go inside, get my 4 items, and it's a magnetic lock. And the door locks, and to get out, there's a plate, wall plate on the wall. It says, wave to exit. I wave my hand at it. Nothing happens. I'm vigorously waving my hand at it. Nothing happens. I'm tapping it. I'm pushing it. Nothing happens. I am now in a room that is about 8x8 with just a couple of boxes, 3 locked doors, the 2 doors for the inside, and the metal door on the outside with a magnetic lock on it. I can't get out.
Oh, man.
What do I do? So, reach in my pocket to my keychain. I have a pocket screwdriver that was a stocking stuffer for Christmas. I take the 2 screws off, get the wall plate for the wave to switch exit off the wall. And being I'm an electronics technician that's installed these magnetic locks before, I knew which 2 wires to pull off of it and short it out and get my hiney out of there.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this room has a videotape camera. It has a video camera in it. I says, watch the tape in the morning. And by the way, your switch is hanging off the wall. Put it back.
Emily Geller Hardman gave birth in her car, and she did it with the help of an app.
Can you imagine? Sounds crazy.
So you basically lived my nightmare, and you're so calm about it. I'm reading the USA Today article, and it's like, yeah, so I listened to the app when I was having the contractions, and I did the breathing, and I'm like, I would have been screaming like a psychopath the entire time in such fear. Can you tell us, walk us through what happened?
Yeah, so I had a planned C-section with my first. Ever since that birth, which is about 3 years ago, I've been preparing myself for an unmedicated VBAC, a vaginal birth after cesarean.
Mm-hmm.
So I've put in a ton of time and energy into researching and preparing my body and my mind. And I decided I'll go to a family wedding. It was only 37 weeks, so pretty early along. I was having some prodromal labor, but nothing major. We went to the wedding, had a great time, danced the night away, lots of oxytocin flowing. So great to see a bunch of family members that we haven't seen. We left the wedding around 10:30, got back to the hotel, were asleep by 11:30, and at midnight, I felt like I had to go to the bathroom, so I woke up and my water broke when I stood up.
Wow.
Wow.
See, at that point, I would scream like a psychopath to my husband and say, we have to go to the hospital now. Find the closest hospital near us. But that is not what you did.
Get the helicopter.
No. Yeah. Yeah, I'd airlift me anywhere.
Yeah.
First time labor will probably be long. Maybe I'll stall. What a lot of people do is they go to the hospital too early and contractions haven't even started.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to try to rest and try to get a little bit of sleep and then make the drive back.
I just cannot believe that your water breaks and you're like, not even like, hurry up, let's get to the hospital back at home, the 3.5-4 hour thing. But you're like, you know what? Let me chill for an hour here. Like, you know what? We already paid for the room.
You know, I want to play blackjack sitting next to you at the table because you got nerves of steel. You know what I mean? I don't want to face you in poker, though, because, I mean, I feel like you're going to take it all the way to the end.
I mean, we were dancing a lot at the wedding, so I was a little tired, and I just figured, I'll just, you know, we'll rest for an hour or two. And then, so around 3 a.m., the contraction started. So at that point, I said, okay, we should probably, you know, head out. We left at 4 a.m., and my daughter was born an hour and 45 minutes after that.
On the side of the road.
It wasn't even the side of the road. My husband was still driving.
Oh, my God.
So we didn't even pull over. Told my husband, I said, pull over. And immediately after that, I instinctively just reached down and I said, there's a head.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was like, okay. So he tries to start to pull over. And I mean, I don't even know, like 10 seconds later, the next contraction, her entire body just flew out.
Oh, my gosh.
And Rosemary is a perfectly healthy, happy baby girl. At that point, you called 911 and the ambulance came and got you and brought you to the closest hospital in Jersey, right?
Yeah, the 911 came. They were great. We hung out in the ambulance and we were taking selfies and videos and chatting. And they took us to a local hospital and I was released 24 hours later. We had to drop off my husband's car at a crime scene cleanup.
Oh, my God.
Hazmat place. Right?
So, unfortunately, we actually still don't have our car.
You have a hell of a birth story that you'll be able to tell Rosemary her whole life.
And when you're selling that car.
Rosemary.
Yeah. I don't know if she's ever selling that car. Well, congratulations to you and your husband, and welcome to the world, Rosemary.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. On our text line, if you don't RSVP to an event by the time you're supposed to, that's all I need to know about you. Oh, I always have anxiety about this. You know, I got two invitations this week.
Hmm.
One for a wedding and one for a 60th birthday.
Yeah.
Do you know they were both electronic? No paper? Like, I could see the 60th birthday because I feel like birthday invitations, you know, at this point. But it was the first wedding invitation that I got that there was nothing in the mail. It was just an
completely
email.
Digital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I felt about it, to be honest.
Well, it's the future, obviously, right? I mean, it saves money, obviously, if you're trying to, you know, cut down your costs or whatever. On the other hand, too, a lot of times people would think that it's more reliable, right? You send an electronic message. Somebody's definitely going to get that. You get a red receipt right there on your phone, too. So you say, well, this is the deadline for RSVP. It's easy to send a follow-up. You know, a lot of people just don't drop it in the mail.
But it went to my spam folder. So, like,
that happens.
I checked my, you know, I always check my spam folder for work just because, you know, things just go there all the time.
Sure.
But all I kept thinking is, like, if that wasn't part of my routine,
right,
would I have missed that?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine you
missed
an invitation?
Grandma didn't RSVP.
Oh.
Sad thing. All right. Auntie isn't coming either, I guess. The list goes long and long.
Yep.
If you're in customer service and yet you've lost the ability to make any decisions on your own, that's all I need to know about you. So I ordered a refrigerator, right? Got a new space, obviously, down in the basement, big project, and I got a very specific refrigerator I need to fit in there. Long story short, it doesn't fit. It's not the right one, right? So it's a mini fridge. It's not a major appliance. So I go to take it back. It's like 32 days after I bought it. I go in. nobody can override the fact because the computer says this is a non-returnable item.
Mm.
It says right in my email receipt that if you buy a refrigerator, it's over 9 cubic feet. We're good. This thing's like 3 cubic feet.
So what happened?
Nobody can override it. I said to the manager in the return department, I said, is there a manager above you that might have the authorization
that
would be able to put in a code to make this happen for me?
Yes, for
but
a manager.
She says, no, we can't do that.
There's no managers there.
No, because the first manager is always there to reject, and then the second manager doesn't exist, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
It just, nobody ever wants to be the person that has to make a decision nowadays that somebody else might follow up and go, wait a minute, what happened here?
My favorite thing, though, is that because of all the Karens, I would never ask to speak to a manager no matter where because I feel like somebody's going to be video
camera
me.
What am I
going to
do with this refrigerator? It doesn't fit. This is not the one I need. I've never even plugged this thing in here.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you like more than 10 of my Instagram photos in a row all at once, that's all I need to know about you.
This is interesting because I know a lot of my friends that say that's stalker behavior when somebody likes a lot of your Instagram posts or it's that they're trying to get your attention. Is that what you think? Because sometimes I'll just click on like somebody's page and I'll be like, and I've never looked at their stuff before and I like it all and I don't give a second thought to it. I don't ever think like, oh, I look like a stalker right now.
Yeah, some of us don't know how to work it. So your photos keep coming up. We just like them. We're like, oh, that's a nice photo. Oh, but look, this is also a nice photo.
Our boss has a rule that if he's posted something that was more than 24 hours old, don't bother liking it. And I thought that was the dumbest thing I ever heard in my entire life.
It is
I was
dumb.
Like, why? And he's like, because it's over. What do you mean it's over?
It's over.
I still liked it.
Right. This moment in time. It's,
yeah.
It's past now. It's in the history.
2 days you posted that? Nope. Now that photo sucks.
So done.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. It's a big week for hockey, but not without controversy. Game 7 tonight, the Islanders up against Tampa Bay. The winner faces Montreal for the cup. But that's not the drama. It actually has nothing to do with the games. So at the end of Game 6, the Islanders beat Tampa Bay in a crazy overtime. But then this happened.
I'm not sure why the Islander fans are peppering the ice with cans of whatever it is on the ice. Your team just won in overtime, and you're going to Game 7, and you're one win away from going to Stanley Cup Final. I can't understand this. I mean, they are throwing them from all sections. This is dangerous for the players. This is your team.
Okay, Raven and I have been talking about this for the last 24 hours.
I love his indignance of the whole thing. This is terrible. I don't understand. Have you ever been to a game in New York before, bro? Like, seriously. what are you even talking about? You don't understand.
I say, okay.
And it's hockey.
Okay.
They could be injured. They're wearing helmets.
Okay.
They fight for fun.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
They continue. They continue.
Oh, boy.
I have no idea why they would be doing this. I mean, Cal Clutterbuck just absolutely knocked a can of something out of the air.
So the
why don't they call it beer, by the way?
Because there's also water bottles being thrown. It was a lot of beer cans, but there was water bottles and all kinds. They just threw
things. A can of something. I don't know what they're doing.
So here's where I get confused, and this is where I get torn down the middle on whether it's right or whether it's wrong. I understand passion, but I went to a Beyonce concert once.
Oh, my God. So
I got hit in the head with the beer can.
So you're comparing Beyonce's show to the overtime victory for the Islanders.
I'm not
after
worried.
Getting schlocked 8-0 the day before, by the way, or the game before.
I just think that I don't think I'd want to get hit in the head, and not so much for the players. Well, yeah, actually for the players, too.
Yes.
But then I started thinking about when you go to figure skating, which is a lot more gentle.
Right.
How they throw the flowers and
always.
The teddy bears on the ice.
And then everybody's got to go down and scoop up the flowers and they give them to the skater, right?
So I don't know if this is the right passion or it's the wrong passion, but I know that I didn't like getting hit in the head with the beer can.
Here's what I know is that the guy, the announcer, is the last guy invited to your hockey party. From then on, the fact that he's so upset about it and so confused as to what's going on. Watch hockey throughout the year. They throw squid. They throw beer. They throw whatever they want on the courts. They throw roast beef. It depends on the team and the place.
Okay.
Octopi. They throw any of that stuff out there.
I'm not really huge into sports. So can you explain to me why do they throw octopus?
Yeah, they're excited.
Oh, all right.
It's their thing.
So your vote is yes, throw all the beer cans. And mine is like, well, let's just throw something softer.
Best
is
two words softer? In sports. Mm-hmm. Game 7.
Okay.
See you tonight.
Throw money. Nobody's going to complain if you throw money.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Check it in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he behaved as a husband this week.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How was your trip?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was just fabulous. I mean, I don't even have words for it.
Well, that's great news.
Yeah, we just spent every moment catching up, and you know, it's a lot of catching up to do.
Went to go spend some time with your sister in wine country. That's good.
Yeah, we weren't technically in wine country, but we did go to some vineyards, and it was incredible. And you know, she kept saying, if you love this, wait until we go to wine country. And I'm like, how is this not wine country? Absolutely amazing. We went to like 3 or 4 vineyards. Oh, it was perfect.
So Raven was in charge of taking care of the dogs while you were away. How did that go?
The house was still standing. The dogs were fed and alive. He did not kill the grass when he mowed it. So, I mean, I guess I can't ask for much more than that.
That's good.
I kept it together.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of other little jobs and things around the house I would have liked to have done. But, you know, life gets in the way. Things get busy unexpectedly. But I think I pulled it off pretty well.
Yeah, I was expecting, you know, a few little, you know, surprise things to be done. But yeah, everybody was alive, so I'll take it.
Great.
I keep trying to convince my wife to aim lower. That way I'll come in and
yes.
I'll, you know what I mean?
Smart.
I overachieve, but yeah. You know, that's the thing is she still has high hopes for me for whatever reason.
Yeah, I feel like at this point you should know that if you set the bar, not even really low, like you should bury the bar in the yard.
Right.
And then you'll just never be disappointed.
Right.
So like the fact that everybody survived you being gone, like... That's incredible.
And if the bar's buried on top of it, I can't run into it with the mower.
Exactly.
That's a good point, really.
That is also true. But he put a couple things on his list, which he insisted that I listen to his list for, you know, the 5 days I was gone. And on that list were a few things that I'd been, you know, waiting like a year for him to do. So I was all excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's finally going to do these things because I'm not going to be home. You know, there's not no schedule to follow. He doesn't have any meetings. Yeah, no, they weren't.
Well, Raven, that was a stupid mistake on your part and a rookie move as a husband.
I think I lost the list like 2 hours in, 90 minutes in, the list blew off the table or something. It's underneath something somewhere.
Raven was so excited that you were gone that he could eat anything he wanted without you judging him.
He ate
the list.
He ate it. That's right.
Yeah, probably.
So how has he been behaving as a husband?
I mean, he's great. I mean, I'm just impressed that he was... I was really most concerned that he was going to ruin the lawn. Like, I woke up one morning, there's a little bit of a time difference, and I woke up one morning and the Ring camera is going off in the front lawn, and I keep getting these notifications. And I'm like, what is he doing out front so early in the morning? And he's mowing the lawn. You know I mow the lawn. And me and my best friend are watching on the camera, and he's literally driving in circles in one part of the yard. And I'm like sick to my stomach because I take such great care of the lawn.
Oh. Best part was, I think it was 8:18 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But Raven, now you know what it feels like, how she was spying on you with the cameras. You know how she feels like when you watch her workout at home like a weirdo.
I don't watch.
Yeah.
That is in her mind. She said that. I never, ever said that or did that, frankly.
Alicia's just running on the treadmill, and here's Raven sitting in the studio staring at you. All right, what kind of grade would you like to give Raven for the week?
Yeah, I got to give him an A, Anna, because, you know, everything was still standing, and, you know, the dogs were healthy and got their medication. So, you know, I got to give him an A for that.
Yes.
Look at me go.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Calling all parents. What did you do this week to earn your margarita? It's not always easy to be a mom or a dad, right? You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Here's what's happening at my house. What are you guys doing?
No, licking, no licking, no licking.
No.
You go to lick daddy, lick daddy.
I like Dada.
What'd you do?
I like Dada.
You lick Dada? That
That's disgusting.
Wheels on the bus go round.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. So here's
that's
the thing.
That's cute at the end.
Well, because Dakota, anytime she sees me quickly get my phone to record her, she breaks into song, my two-year-old.
Oh.
Doesn't make much sense to me, but I think, I don't know, she's got it in her blood.
That's good if she likes to ham it up.
But the new thing is Hayden, my older one, 12, she tells her to lick things, and then Dakota just goes and licks them. If we're at a restaurant, I'll see her whisper in her ear, and I'm like, don't. Don't. Next thing I know, Dakota will walk up to the wall and just start licking the wall.
What?
I go. Then she'll lick us. She'll be like, "Go lick mommy. Oh. Go lick daddy."
I mean, it's going to build up her immunity, I guess.
Oh, I almost
if
had
she
a heart
survives
attack.
This whole thing.
She was licking the floor the other day, and she was. I was like, "Dakota, why?" She said, "Sissy told me. Sissy told me to lick floor." I was like, "Come on, Hayden."
Terrible.
Hayden's in the corner cackling. You know. Can't wait for that margarita today. 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Mama, what did you do to earn your margarita this week?
Oh, my gosh. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I bathed them together. So I decided I was doing extra bubbly bubble bath and blew up in my face when my daughter, super excited, goes, "Mommy, look what I did." And she had a mermaid in one hand and a munchkin-sized ball of feces in her other hand. And in the bathroom.
Oh.
Wow.
That's only happened to me once with Dakota, and once was enough. Yeah. Because you never forget that moment as a mom.
Oh, my gosh. No, and she'll never forget it either. I was like, "I'm throwing out every toy you have. Get in the shower."
Thank you for
double time.
Yeah. Mama, you get that margarita. You know what? You get two.
Yeah. I'll send the bottle to the table.
Enjoy it. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you do this week to earn your margarita, Mama?
I spent the last 2 weeks selling pizza slices and water bottles at my son's baseball game. So I am sunburned, exhausted, but the good news is the season's over and I'm never going to volunteer again.
Right, lesson learned.
Yeah, it's so funny. Years ago, I would volunteer for everything. If there was an email that went out looking for volunteers, I was the first person to raise my hand.
Forget
Not
it.
Anymore. I don't know what happened to me. Now I'm like, nope, can't do it. Sorry. Have a great job. Want me to write a check? Here's $25. Whatever you got to put it towards.
I'll send supplies, but I am not going.
Enjoy that margarita, Mama, but I give you a lot of credit. Somebody's got to do that work.
Thank you.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Stacey and Dan. Stacey, what's going on?
Hi, guys. So my husband, he hates that I basically let everybody know on Facebook what's going on. And I personally do it to get my friend's opinion, and I really like to see other people's views. But he just hates it and wants our life to be super private. And I don't know. I disagree.
Stacey, when you say you let people know all that's going on, like how much are you letting know what's going on? Like daily posts, several posts throughout the day. Hey, let's take a vote on what I'm going to do with my life. Or, hey, this is what I had for breakfast. This is what I had for lunch. Or how intense is it?
I mean, it's not too intense. If Daniel and I argue, you know, I'll let him know like what's going on, and then I'd like to see like, okay, am I right here or am I wrong? Or you know, I just like to get different perspectives.
So
and,
you do like a daily couples court on your own Facebook page with yourself.
Yeah,
I see.
Pretty much.
Oh yeah,
pretty much.
Dan, what's your opinion on this and why?
Oh man, it's way more intense than she says it is. Like. She wants her friends to, like, side with her so that she can throw it back in my face. Sometimes, like, I'm at work and some of my friends walk up to me and are like, hey, this thing happened to you in real life? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, how did you know that? And they're like, I read it on Stacey's Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I get that. That would be bothersome for me, too. I understand that. But, you know, I'm a different type as well.
Stacey, you don't feel like it's not fair to him to have, like, all your private matters out in public like that?
I mean, I see where he's coming from, but he can see where I'm coming from, too, that I'm not throwing him under the bus. It's really just there's no bad intentions behind it. Like, there's a lot of situations or some that agree with him, and, you know, I tell him, too, and then I get more mad, but it's fine.
Huh. It's an interesting argument because I think a lot of people do this. They put everything on social media.
Right.
And I think that can be certainly difficult when you have one partner that doesn't want that and wants their lives to be private.
No question about it.
Whose side are you on this morning? You may agree with Stacey that What's the big deal? It's just looking for opinions, and she's welcome to everybody's opinion. But you may see Dan's side, too, that there's something about having some privacy in a relationship.
1-800-330-9999. You be the judge. Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Stacey's one of those people that loves to post on Facebook. And not just, like, pictures of the kids. Like, all her personal business that's happening in her life. And she basically does Couples Court on her own Facebook page every single day, things that are happening with her husband.
Her husband, Danny, is not a fan of this. I mean, it feels a bit like a betrayal, right? I mean, when you've got personal business that you're trying to work through, often it's not like you have a resolution the next day when you go to work. Imagine one of your coworkers coming up to you and talking about something that's going on in your household. And you didn't even know it was posted on Facebook.
But she says that she looks for opinions on both sides and that it's very democratic and it's not always just bashing him and he's overreacting. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm on his side because that's not fair to him, only because people aren't just siding with them. You know that they're going behind their back and pretty much talking about it to everybody else. And for him to be at work or whatever and have that thrown in his face is not fair at all.
It's humiliating is really what it is.
Yeah, it's not cool. It creates all sorts of uncomfortable situations, too. And I mean, that's just the personal aspect. I mean, think about the professional aspect, too. It's just kind of like, who is this person that you're married to?
Mm. Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. Stacey's an oversharer on Facebook. You know who I'm talking about. The one that posts everything happening in their life. The thing that she also does, she posts a lot about why her and her husband are having disagreements. But she says she just does it with an open mind to see what people think. Even sometimes she's not right.
Here's the thing. No matter what her point of view is, Danny doesn't like it. And he's expressed to her over and over again, he doesn't like it. He wants her to stop it. But she says, no, no, no. This is all part of my process. This is how I handle things. And we get good input from this.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Ann on Raven.
I'm on the husband's side. I think it's a little too much. I mean, private affairs, you get your opinion. That's why you have friends, best friends that you call and you just get one or two, three opinions and call it a day, but not the whole Facebook and everybody. That's crazy.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side today. You should keep your relationship private. You don't need all of your friends in your business. That just makes things harder, as well as strangers on your Facebook, too, that you don't know. Everybody has them. You don't need their input. You guys should take care of it together or go see a therapist.
It's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm actually on Dan's side. It's just they have to post the positive as well as the negative. If she's not posting the positive things that go on in a relationship, then she just can't post anything. You got to be fair about everything.
More posting. The most posting.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Dan, our audience agreed with you. Stacey, you know, your husband's telling you that he wants to keep things private, and airing everything on the internet is basically embarrassing to him. So you got to tone it back and take it back. If it's things that only have to do with you, fine. Go ahead. Do it. But anything that has to do with the both of you, it's not fair.
Yeah, I mean, I can compromise with that. I'll definitely try to tone it down a bit with our, you know, personal issues.
Yeah, I mean, even that sounds like it's going to be somewhat challenging for you, but I can understand how this has become something that, you know, he kind of resents anyways. Dan, are you going to be okay with this? I mean, obviously, you got the result that you need. Do you think she's going to follow through?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope she follows through. Like, I didn't grow up with this. I don't know how to, like, resolve my life to this, so I hope she follows through. Like, I am married to her, and I want to make this work.
Without destroying Facebook in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Without destroying Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Okay, Brian and Andrew, it's your turn. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, good luck, Brian.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have $1,600 in the pot right now. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. He's out in the hallway. We're in a soundproof studio. He can't hear us. Do the best you can. You get more right than he gets right, you win the cash. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven, though. You ready to play?
We're ready.
Number one, Ryan Murphy, the creator of American Horror Story, is making a new spinoff series. It's called American Horror Stories. It'll begin streaming on July 15th on Hulu. Ryan Murphy got his start with the show Nip Tuck, but is more known for his musical comedy drama that aired on Fox from 2009 to 2015. What show is that?
Absolutely.
Number two, Peter Pan is getting a Disney live-action remake, and Captain Hook will be played by Jude Law. What is the name of where Peter Pan lives?
Never Neverland.
Number three, Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg will work with the NBC streaming service Peacock, recapping all the Olympic events this year. Where are the 2021 Summer Olympics taking place?
Tokyo.
Number four, Ben Platt is trending because he performed a cover version of the song You and I by Lady Gaga as part of the 10th anniversary of the Born This Way album. In 2017, he won a Tony for Best Actor for what famous Broadway musical?
Dear Evan Hansen.
And number five, fans are sad because Rihanna covered up a tattoo that she once got with Drake. They had gotten those matching tats together. What was the tattoo of? Come on, give it to me, Brian.
Not Chris Brown.
Okay. It definitely was not Chris Brown. That I will tell you, even though I'm not supposed to reveal whether your answers are correct or not. Let me bring Raven back in. Oh, God.
Yo.
All right, they got 4 out of 5. Not bad.
Pretty impressive. $1,600. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Ryan Murphy, the creator of American Horror Stories, had got a new spinoff series coming out called American Horror Stories.
Sure.
It's going to stream July 15th on Hulu. Ryan Murphy got his start with the show Nip Tuck, but is more known for his musical comedy drama that aired on Fox from 2009 to 2015. What show is that?
It's got to be Glee.
Glee is correct. Peter Pan is getting a Disney live-action remake, and Captain Hook will be played by Jude Law. Where does Peter Pan live?
Lives in Never Neverland.
That's correct. Number three, Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg will work with the NBC streaming service Peacock, recapping all the Olympic events this year.
Okay.
Where are the 2021 Summer Olympics being held?
They're in Tokyo, right?
Yep. Number four, Ben Platt is trending because he performed a cover version of the song You and I by Lady Gaga as part of the 10th anniversary of the Born This Way album.
Okay.
He won a Tony in 2017 for Best Actor for what famous Broadway musical?
Just take a shot and say Hamilton?
No, Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, wow.
Fans are sad because Rihanna covered up a tattoo that she once got with Drake. What was that tattoo of?
I'm going to take a guess and say a gun.
You would be wrong. The answer is shark. And that means Ryan and Andrew just picked up $1,600. Congratulations, guys.
Oh, wow.
He did it.
That's amazing.
I think Andrew's already spending the money.
Right.
So if you're not quite pumped, Dad, he is.
Ask Andrew what he wants to do with the money.
Oh, long time ago, he said he's spending it all on candy.
All right.
Well, I can get behind a victory like that.
My dad just beat Raven.
Yeah. Congratulations, guys. Hold on the line. We'll get all your info, okay?
Thank you.